Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the November 11th, 2024 meeting of the Madison Landmarks Commission. I am going to hand it over to Lauren to discuss processes and procedures for tonight's meeting. Lauren.
Landmarks Commission members, please use video if you're able so we can ensure we have quorum. If you wish to speak, remember to use the raise hand feature. Also, use the raise hand feature to make a motion or second. Voting will be considered unanimous. However, if you object to a unanimous vote, please use the raise hand feature when the chair asks for objections and a roll call vote will be taken. Members of the public who have registered to speak, the name you entered in Zoom must match the name you entered in registration. You will remain muted until called upon. You will have 3 minutes to speak, and staff will tell you when your time is up. Please do not use your video. If you turn on your video, it will be shut off. Chair, the floor is yours.
Lauren, the first thing I have on our agenda is the approval of the October 7th, 2024 meeting minutes. Is there an approval or a motion? I see a motion. Is there a second? Thank you, Edna. I am going to assume unanimous consent unless I see otherwise by hands, digital or otherwise. Seeing none, I will move on to agenda item number one, public comment. This is the portion of the Landmarks Commission agenda in which the public can make a comment on something that is not on our agenda. Looking at our registered list of registrants, we have no one registered for this item. So I will move on to disclosures and recusals. Members of the body should make any required disclosures or recusals under the city's ethics code. Is there anyone that needs to disclose or recuse themselves? Seeing none, I believe we have two items for our consent agenda. It is the practice of the Landmarks Commission to approve a consent agenda. This includes items that are removed from the agenda to be voted on as a group on which staff believes an application has had sufficient review towards approval with all of the conditions placed upon it. The applicant accepts those conditions, and there are no individuals that are registered to speak in opposition to the item. The consent agenda is addressed at the beginning of the meeting to allow applicants and registrants to leave the meeting unless a member of the commission requests separation. And then that agenda item is placed back on the agenda and reviewed as part of the regular course of business. The following are proposed for the consent agenda. That is agenda item number two, Legistar file 85951, 617 North Shore Drive. And agenda item number three, that's Legistar file 85952, 825 Williamson Street. Do I have any commissioners that request separation of these projects? Seeing none, do I have a motion on the consent agenda?
I
Edna?
can.
Excellent. Do I have a second? Thank you, Maurice. I have a second. I am going to assume unanimous consent. And I am going to thank the few people who registered for those items who attended today. We will move on to agenda item number four, new business, Landmarks Commission meeting schedule for 2025. Heather?
So this is really just for your information, although plenty of you probably have already received the meeting invites from Lauren. I believe Lauren already sent those out. Yes, okay, good. So this is our commission schedule for the upcoming year, so that you can start planning your calendars. That is also posted up on our website so that folks who are planning their projects can start to plan things out ahead. That's all I've got on that.
Heather, does anyone have any questions about this? Seeing none, let's move on to agenda item number five, which is the historic resource nomination form.
Okay, so along the lines of our discussion at the previous Landmarks Commission meeting, in doing a nomination, specifically where we're doing amendment because the landmark site boundary needed to be changed, but the previous nomination didn't actually delineate what the landmark site boundary was. I proposed changes, and I did it sort of redlinish version, except that I deleted out the stuff and I just put in red text the stuff that was going to be different. So in the nomination form, for the additional materials, I put in pictures, so we'd have current pictures of the property, because currently that isn't a requirement of landmark nominations, and that seems kind of important to have, and also a requirement for a map. So that's in the nomination form, and then the red text is the new text that I put in, and that's on the instructions. So all those were included as attachments. So for changing the landmark nomination form and the instructions, I do need approval from the commission for me to do those things. And then once you approve it, I will change the text from red to black and then post them up on the website so that they are there for future new nominations or potentially amendments to nominations. Yes, Marie.
Madam Chair, I just got one question for Dr. Bailey. Heather, how far in advance, prior to one of our meetings, does a submittal have to be in? Because I know we faced it over this past year, I think two times, maybe even three times, where somebody came in after a project had already been submitted for some sort of certificate of appropriateness, and then somebody come back and return and say, okay, well, this needs to be a landmark. I just want to see where that stands and make sure there's not some sort of predatory sort of thing where a neighbor who doesn't agree with a project comes out and says, oh, this needs to be landmark. Because I think we sort of faced that once or twice this year, maybe even three
Oh
times.
yeah. No, that is a common thing that goes. For if people come in with a landmark nomination, it does need to be a substantive nomination, not just I think this should be a landmark. And I get quite a few of those that you never see. Well, I think it should be a landmark. Well, then prepare a nomination, and then I don't hear anything else. In terms of people weaponizing it, yeah, that probably happens. I mean, we have seen that. On the other hand, for the history of historic preservation, a lot of times we don't think about this is a place that we want to save until it is under threat. For if it isn't designated when a project proposal comes in, it is not bound by any potential designation. So legally, it is subject to the rules at the time of application. So a proposal comes in for redevelopment of a site, and that proposal then is subject to whatever the regulations are at the time. And if it does not have a landmark designation, it is not subject to that, which is the way this has tended to be derailed for projects. So people come in with a landmark nomination and there's a redevelopment proposal in the works. Plan Commission and or Common Council could vote to place the application on file, which would end that process. And then if they approve the landmark designation, then when it was resubmitted, it then would be subject to if it was a landmark. That hasn't been the way that that has worked. The last couple of times folks have tried to do that. It is not comfortable. It is not awesome. On the other hand, it is a matter of due process that is available to folks. And so it can go through the process. And then the Common Council, who is the decider, is deciding on. So, like with the Filene House, they decided that to approve the redevelopment with the conditions that came from Plan Commission for incorporating the history of the site into some of the landscaping work that they were doing. And then they decided to place on file the proposed landmark designation. That wasn't comfortable, but it did go through its process and I think it came to an appropriate conclusion.
Okay, so just to be clear, that there is no specific time or date when a nomination need to come in prior to us reviewing a project. We can review a project, it can go on to Plan Commission, and someone can still come in and submit
They
a
can.
okay, all right, okay.
Yep. And with the folks, what comes in with where a project is already approved, it's received its approvals, and people say, well, I'm going to come in with a landmark designation. At that point, it's already been approved for demolition. So I told them, no, that project is already got its approvals for demolition. So there's nothing to landmark then at that case. Molly.
Yeah, I just have one question about the changes and I guess when I read them, I'm not sure whether they feel require it feels required enough because it's housed under additional information and it says any supplemental images. So I could see someone reading it and being like, oh, I don't have any extra images to include. But I don't know how others read it.
I mean, I can make a change again. This isn't like a pressing thing. I can come back with something different in December if you want me to create separate sections for map and for photos. This amendment that I did, and then the Clarenbach house, that's where we both house those things. So I was like, okay, we kind of have some precedent now. I'll just house them there. And so, yes, that section for the instructions says additional information, and it's got that some verbiage, but then I also have that these two things are required.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I'm comfortable with it either way. Like, I don't know. If other people read it and they're like, yeah, this meets what we need, I could be convinced that it does.
Heather, you need a motion for this.
Yeah, I
I
was just
do.
gonna, I'm just looking at both, and I think that the Word document for the form, to me, they don't seem, they don't, they, I wouldn't read it as required, but I think if you want to have that information, we'd want to have required on there.
Then how about we refer this to our next meeting? Hello. How about we refer this to our next meeting, and I will do some verbiage changes. Okay.
And I think I one quick clarification about the map. So is a map simply to make sure that they understand that they sit within the boundary of the district? It's not necessarily for us to understand the parcel or any of that.
So it for there a map would be for a district, but also for an individual property, because we have some properties where things change over time, and so we're able to specify what the landmark site boundary is, because that's one of the definitions in the code for the historic preservation ordinance is the landmark site boundary. But then the landmark site boundary isn't always explicit in the nominations themselves. And the lots and parcels have changed over time, so it makes it complicated.
So, are you now looking for a motion to refer this to a new meeting?
Yes.
Okay, then I'll just make that motion then to refer this to the next. You want this for the
Yeah, I
December
can make
meeting, or
those
does it
changes
need to
for the
go?
December meeting. Yep.
Okay. So, Katie, can we do that? Can we make a motion to refer this item to the December?
Well, that's a good question.
What's the date on that?
It is the December 9th meeting.
December 9th.
I'll
I
second.
can second. Oh.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay, we have a motion. We have a second. Heather, we'll see that in December then.
Yes.
Thank you, everyone, for those great comments. Okay, one more thing on our agenda. Buildings proposed for demolition. Am I handing this over to you, Heather? Or I saw Mary Rose is on here also.
I am here. I'm back loosely. Hi, how are you guys? It's been a while. My camera's off because I'm sitting in my car because I'm about to go into another meeting. But Yes, I will take this, and it should be a quick one. We, as you can see on the agenda, we just have two properties. So, sharing my screen. Okay, everybody see that? Yep. Okay, excellent. All right, so for demolitions tonight, we're starting off with 2902 Dryden Drive. This is a commercial building constructed in 1980 and remodeled in 2014. There's no preservation file or WHS site file, and this property was reviewed twice by the Landmarks Commission in recent memory, March 15th of 2021 and January 10th of 2022, at which point both times there was a finding of no known historic value. And today, Heather discovered that this building has actually already been demolished. It is not there. So we don't know why this came back through the demolition report as a review again. But the building is gone. It was previously authorized for demolition, so that is okay. But we're just going doing our due diligence since it was submitted through the demolition report service. And so staff recommendation is a finding of no known historic value. And next is 4303 Portage Road. This is a single family home and accessory structure with unknown dates of construction. And there's also no preservation file or WHS site file for these. And the staff recommendation is a finding of no known historic value. I will note that the addresses on these are a little bit wonky, like they don't show up in our system. And it can be like a touch difficult to find these properties, but they, the applicant provided like an adjacent lot, so that was the easiest way to identify them. But again, the staff finding is no known historic value, and then I'll put up the recommended findings for your review and recommendation.
Looking for a motion for this?
I can move A.
Yeah, no, is there a second? Thank you, Molly. There's a
Sure.
second. I'm going to assume unanimous consent on this. And then I'm going to ask for a motion for adjournment. Thank you, Ed. Is there a second? Thank you, Maurice. I saw that. Thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful holiday season, and we'll see you in December. Bye, everyone.